It's Denver's home for today's comedy, Comedy 103.1. It's Big Mike in his studio. We have a man who always makes time for us when he's in town. We appreciate him for that. He's a great friend of Comedy 103.1, and this weekend, he is at Comedy Works South of the Landmark. We have Christopher Titus. What's up, man?
I'm doing good, and thank you for letting me come here and whore my shows every time. You know, that means a lot to me, that you let me just come in and just sell my wares.
We love the whores around here at Comedy 103.1.
Who doesn't love whores?
And I mean, you're like the top-notch whore, so it's perfect.
Thank you. Well, I just released my 7th special, Born with a Defect, which you can get on at ChristopherTice.com.
Well, can you? I saw the first batch sold out. Did you get?
Did you see that? Yeah, we they're coming in. They're coming in on Monday. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
We did 1,000 limited edition ones, and now we're doing the whole run now.
So you're going the whole NES Classic, the Nintendo Classic. You put out a limited amount. Everybody's like, it's sold out already.
Yeah.
Because last week they put out the Nintendo Classic everywhere, and it sold out in 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Now they're like, oh, Thursday at 3, we'll release some more. So now there's going to be long lines at Walmart and Target for people trying to get a Nintendo Classic. So
those are pretty cool. Is that that little box thing?
That's
I'm not a video game guy. I don't want my kids play video games because they're not going to be attacked by a dragon in the real world.
Yeah.
So I just don't let them even do it.
Yeah, it's like the old school Nintendo. It's not like it's a lot smaller, but it's got like 30 games on it, and it's like $60. And so when
and it's old school looking games, right?
With it's the original Nintendo games. So Super Mario, Mario Brothers, Zelda, but there's like 30 of them, and it's 60
I saw this demonstrated. I want this now, man. You know,
yes.
But the problem is that the few times I did play video games, a friend of mine had, when he first had his kitty, he got the Mario Kart.
Yeah.
And we started at 3 in the afternoon. It was just like, I'd never played it before, 3 in the afternoon. And the next thing I know, it's 1 a.m.
Yes.
and we hadn't eaten, and I could just see it's crack.
Oh, especially Mario Kart. Yeah. I mean, that was an addicting game.
Yeah, well, they also design them so it actually creates a serotonin centers in your brain. They make sure that it does that. Yeah. So, you know, it's instead of that, I just take prescription medication now.
Well, see, I knew the game. I knew the system was coming out, and I didn't know I wanted it until it sold out the first day. And I was like, I want that.
Yeah.
I was like, freaking a Nintendo.
We're such monkeys, aren't we?
Which is what Christopher Titus did with his special. He put it out, and it's sold out. You're going to have to wait until early next week.
Well, I'm a diabolical marketer. Let's
it's
just say
all good.
No, but I did the new special. It's an hour and 45 minutes long, and now I'm in the weird place. Comedy is such a weird thing because now I'm writing the new one, and I got to put it out. I got to get it out, I hate that. It's always the hard part is to break the back of the new one. A lot of guys will just do one bit, but I always need to come up with. So I'm running for president 2017.
Yes,
because of this election, I think we're gonna need a new president pretty quick.
Probably.
I sense.
May not last. I'll be impressed if he makes it to the inauguration day.
I know it's weird because it's like I've never in my life seen an election like this. You know, the last four people running for president were just the craziest. There's this lady named Vanya from like the 30s or something, and she predicted all these things like Nostradamus, and she said that Barack was going to be our last president. She said the last American president will be a black man.
Yeah,
and so maybe with the way it's going with Trump, maybe James Earl Jones is going to be president in a while. Maybe we just haven't got the right black man.
Well, I would suspect it'd probably be like Morgan Freeman. I mean,
or LeBron.
If I go by the movies,
LeBron.
If you go by the movies, it's Morgan Freeman.
It's got to be Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, go by that.
We will survive.
So we have Christopher Titus in studio. He is at Comedy Works South at the Landmark. You can get your tickets at comedyworks.com. And, last time you were here, we were also talking about how your specials usually revolve around or are following, like, a tragedy in life. And last time you were here...
Yeah, I need a nightmare to happen,
last time you were here, like, life is good. And we were wondering, could you still keep working? And you're here. So I think everything went okay, unless, you know...
Well, the way the system is working right now, I'm going to run for president. I'm going to get I'm destroying the system with this one. I'm just breaking the back of it right now. I think we're to a place... You know, what bothers me the most about it is that we can't even argue anymore without hating each other's guts. Like,
correct.
You know, there's another rare show I did with Willie, and I didn't know he was a Trump supporter, and he started getting amped up because I was arguing about it, and I was going, but he did this and this and this, and he goes, I don't care, Hillary, emails! And I'm like, okay, wait, emails?
Yes.
Is that where we're at right now?
Yes.
Emails?
Of course.
So, anyway, so I'm starting to do that now, but come to the show. Again, this show, if you don't have kids, if you have kids, it's therapy. If you don't have kids, it's 90 minutes of birth control, and I'm doing the best of this show, and then then you're going to see me breaking some new stuff, which is always a weird time because I usually take the paper on stage so I don't miss it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those comics. It's for people go, good, I'm glad you're doing a new show. I'm like, no, it's a nightmare. It's a tumor-causing nightmare exactly. until it gets funny. So right. basically, all my fear and desperation, every bit of that hole in my self-esteem is so amplified when I break a new material. Right. But the new stuff, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right.
Well, the beauty is you might see some things that you may not laugh at initially, but then you also might see things that you're the first person laughing to
yeah.
that nobody else heard. So
But this happens every time. It's some of the best jokes I've ever written. I thought they were funny, and then I thought, oh, God, the audience is going to hate this. And you never know. You just never know. There was a joke I wrote in the last special that I thought was just a great joke, and it just never really worked. And I know it's funny. I'm like, you guys are wrong. But after 380 shows, I think you have to go, well, maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I was going to say, you know, different cities and different markets, you know, if you go to the South, you go to New York, you go to Denver, I'm sure there's probably slight sense of humor change. I was going to say, if it doesn't work the first time, do at least take it to another city and make sure that city wasn't messed
up. Yeah, comics, you know, like a lot of comics, they would write a new bit and they would do it three times, and if it didn't work, they would dump it. And I never believed in that. Like, you have to believe in yourself. So there was a bit, one of the bits I wrote about my dad's, and I wrote it a long time ago. It ended up in this show because I just never fit. But my dad, the first time my dad claimed that I killed him, tried to kill him when I was 22. You know, because so I'll tell you the story. So my dad and I used to get in fist fights when I was 17 and a half, fist fights, and I got my ass handed to me pretty much on a daily basis.
Right.
So I moved out. I said, that's it. I moved to San Francisco. I'm going to be the best comedian in the world. Screw you, old man. And I moved to San Francisco and I worked for 18 months and I would go to 4 shows a night and I was writing all night. And after 18 months, I had to move back to my dad's house because it hadn't really worked out. And I went to my plan B, which was working at Kentucky Fried Chicken. And if the humidity is right, you can still smell it on me.
So, I was wondering what that pleasant aroma was.
Dude. Yeah, well, you like chicken.
That's not even lunchtime yet.
So I was driving home and this horrible job I had. I would drive home every night in my POS, and there was this guy who put this 56 Chevy on his front lawn, and it said $1,800 in the window. And I used to stop every night and just stare at it. Because if you're a guy, there's one car you'll fall in love with at one point, and that was the car. I saved up my money. After 3 months, I said, Dad, I'm going to buy this car. I hadn't sold yet. There was reasons for that. And my dad said, the hell you are. And I said, hey, I'm over 18 now. You can suck it, old man. With respect, though, because he controlled the food and the shelter.
Right.
And my dad said something he never said. He said, tell you, let me go with you to buy the car. You know, I've made a lot more mistakes in my life, and so you don't get ripped off. And so I was 18, so I was like, wow, I am so suspicious.
Yeah.
But I had to admit, my dad was a good salesman. I mean, he just was. I mean, he got married 6 times. He was a great salesman. I still don't know how number 6 went. I'm a unicorn. Like, how does a 6 woman go?
Didn't know.
Yeah, they didn't know what they had. So we go to this guy's house, and I get out of the car, and I'm feeling cocky because my dad's me, and I go, hey, I would like to buy the car. I brought my dad. He knows karate. Like, I don't even know what I'm saying. My dad goes, shut up. He goes, I'm not letting. And he looks at the guy. And he goes, I'm not letting you sell my son this piece of crap. And I walk over to him, and I'm like, Dad, are we going to beat him and take it? What are we doing? He's like, shut up, idiot. And he starts walking around the car, and he starts, like, the bumpers are twisted, and he's making fun of the rims. He goes, what, poultry done by a blind Mexican in Tijuana? Dad, why are we making fun of handicapped Hispanic people now? He goes, shut up, idiot. He goes, I'll give you $1,000 for the car. That's it. And I'm waiting for this guy to punch my dad in the throat. I'm hoping this guy punches my dad in the throat. Instead, the guy goes, hold on, and he walks in his house. And what we heard next was like a 3-minute radio cartoon. We hear from behind them, we hear, hey, and then a pan bangs off the front door, and I'm standing there just mouth open, and my dad just goes, this is how it happens. So the dude comes back out, and when he hit the door, it looked like someone had injected him with 3 decades, and he just kind of shuffles to the edge of the steps, and he goes, okay, I'll take $1,000. And I thought I loved my dad, and I got this car. So I work on this car, get to this place, where it was running really well. But it was the worst car for a comedian because I'm a high-performance guy. The car, I was doing like gigs for $50. So every dime I'm making is going to the stupid gas for this car. Because the carburetor, after I rebuilt it, was a toilet bowl, basically. The car, it would just suck gas.
Yeah.
So I have to get to L.A. I'm in Northern California. I have to get to L.A. I have just enough money for gas. And I need the ballast resistor in the car went bad. This ballast resistor, I explained it to you. The car was broken. Let's leave it at that. So my dad, I didn't have enough money to get the parts, so my dad's boat was parking on the side of the house. And as I learned as a kid, my dad taught me, it ain't stealing if they ain't using it. That's how you teach a kid. So I went and I took the part off my dad's boat, put it on the car, and I drove to L.A. I don't think about it for 6 months. So, and then it was brought back to my attention. So I, yeah. So I'm in LA. My dad got rid of stepmom number five. He was going for number six, and he pulled his boat out to take this girl out. And he washed the boat; it wouldn't start. Changes the gas because he thought old gas went bad.
Right.
Puts new gas in, it won't start. Then he starts taking the distributor out, and he starts taking sparks. Why won't it start? And he's going back and forth to the auto parts store every couple of minutes trying to get new parts. And he's drinking a 12-pack of beer, or snack pack, as my dad said. That's his joke, by the way. And so after 4 or 5 hours, he's working on the car. He's in this hot California sun. He's just pissed. And he starts tracing the wires, and he finds these two wires hanging out where I took the ballast rooster off the boat. And he got pissed, and he started mumbling. I know he started, like I do with my kids, he just started going, "That dumbass, I swear to God, I'm going to, you know, if I kill him now, it's not child abuse, it's manslaughter now, and I'll run cell block." I knew he did. And he got madder and madder, and he had a heart attack.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, they said it was a mild heart attack. They called me. I go, they said, "You had a heart attack." I said, "Oh, my God, a heart attack." Said, "Oh, it's a mild heart attack." "Really? Mild heart? What does that mean? Should I bring yogurt? What does that mean? So I'm in Fresno. I'm a couple hundred miles away when they call me. And actually, I'm on stage, and I get off stage for the show, and the club manager's got the phone. He's holding the phone, and he goes, "Take the phone." I go, "What?" He goes, "Take the phone." And I go, "Hello?" And it's my fifth stepmother who was still talking about it. She goes, I say, "Hello." Here's what she says: "You killed your father." And I'm like, "I have been here the whole night. I know I'm a suspect, but I swear to God, I have witnesses." And she goes, "Did you take something off his boat?" And I was like, "Oh." So I drive to the hospital. Next morning, and I walk in, and my dad is hooked to machines, and he's gray. And I just go, "Dad, this is horrible. I can't believe this happened." And I said, I said, "What did this feel like?" He goes, "It felt like a garbage truck parked on my chest. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. It was horrible." And I said, "Well, Dad, you've been smoking and drinking for 40 years. You start the day with pork rinds."
Yeah.
You know? And I said, "So I think the best thing you should do," before I get the next sentence out, and he goes, "How's your car running?" So that's how angry your kids will make you. I was literally, he was on the verge of death. He was literally hooked to machines.
Right.
And he still had to say, he was about to go into the light to meet Jesus. And he was like, "Hold on, Jesus. I got to deal with dip first."
And as you're sitting there looking at the ventilator, you're like, "That could make my car run faster."
Yeah, you know what? That would look cool. And yeah, if I just hit the switch, this argument stops.
Then your dad would really be pissed.
Yeah. But he swore I killed him. So that I do comedy now is weird. Like, we're going to release, we're working on a seven show box set right now.
Okay.
Because I now have 7 90-minute specials.
Nice.
Yeah.
That you'll release 500 copies of it. It'll sell out in the first week. And you'll be like, "Oh, man, it's big demand." But you can get it at ChristopherTitus.com.
You've done way too much research on me. I can't speak. It's too early in the morning. You've done way too much research on me. Guys, by showtime, I swear to God, I'll be speaking English again. What the hell just happened to me?
It's okay. It's better early in the morning than later nights. It's all good.
Well, this is the only job where I have to get up 14 hours early to be funny.
Well, we want to thank Christopher Titus for making time for us. Like I said, Comedy Works South. Go get your tickets right now. It's going to be a great weekend of comedy. And welcome back to the Maya City, man.
Thanks, man. I love it here.